Reformed Church.
You know, we've been talking about, just on Wednesdays, we were talking about the second tabernacle, and we were essentially the purpose of that series was just to talk about Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice, and basically, in regards to cleansing and forgiveness specifically, but it can apply to anything, that everything is once-for-all for us, right? Like, you're not changing, you know, when you sin or when you don't sin. You're just in this eternal sanctification and this eternal holiness and this eternal cleansing that even when you do something wrong, you're still eternally cleansed, right? And what we said was that if you do sin, the Bible says that if you lack virtue, it says you just forgotten that you were clean. So it's not that you're fluctuating, right? And the concept of fluctuation is not a godly concept for a believer, all right, in any regard for you. In regards to cleansing, the concept of fluctuation in your life, like things are good or things are bad, is not a good way to think about yourself, all right? Jesus does not fluctuate. And we obviously know that at the bottom line is that we understand who we are by seeing who Jesus is. And Jesus does not fluctuate day to day. So you can feel different day to day. You can certainly think different day to day, but you are not different day to day. And in specific, what I wanted to correct is just this concept of what you'd hear in the church today about like mountains and valleys, right? Again, you've heard it in Christian songs, you've heard it in churches, and you know, God, you're still good on the mountain and you're still good in the valley. That concept, what they're saying is that there's a fluctuation in a believer's life. There's a fluctuation for a believer. Like And again, I say this word holistically. I'm not saying that circumstances on the outside of you can't change, but you are not different. You are not any different. There's no such thing. Let's get that out of the way. There's no such thing as a believer being on the mountain and then in the valley. Like, I'm just going through a dry spell right now. I'm just going through kind of, you know, you ever feel like you're going through a drought right now. Or, you know, sometimes even when you're going through the valley, you know, and I've been there, when you go through the valley, but God is still with you and God is still good even in the valley. That God is good thing does not fix all the stupidity of what you're saying after that. And I love anyone that would say that, right? And I don't necessarily speak to individuals quite as bluntly as like, oh, you're stupid. But stupidity would be to believe these kind of things and then to not repent from them when you're told differently. That would be stupidity. And if the Lord ever led me, I might even say that to an individual. But just during a message, you have to call stupidity what it is, because this mountain valley concept, you saying, well, God's good even in the valley. No. You're saying that God is still who he is and he doesn't fluctuate even when you fluctuate, right? Like, that's what we're saying. But then you're not like Jesus then. And again, I know that lots of believers don't believe that they're like Jesus 100% anyway right now, but for us that understand that already and understand that we are joint heirs with Christ, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that he's called our brother for a reason in the Bible, right? He's not ashamed to call us his brethren. That means we're the same as Jesus, all right? I'm not going to teach on that. But Christ doesn't have this fluctuation, and that's why when we say, oh, God is good, even in the valley, you're saying that you can be going through sort of hell on earth right now. This is what we think, right? And you say, well, how can you, well, let me even save that point for a second. We'll say that, oh, when I'm going through the valley and I'm fluctuating, I'm going through, you know, hell on earth right now, God is still good. So you're saying God has no fluctuation, but you certainly do. Like, day to day, you can be up on the, in quotes, mountain or down in the, in quotes, valley. First and foremost, just to correct this right off the bat, we know here, mountain doesn't mean good time in the Bible, and valley doesn't mean bad time in the Bible. So your terminology is wrong from the get-go. Mountain in the Bible means heaven, and you can see that from, I just wrote this down, if you can, for people online, if you want to compare, you know what, I didn't write this down, if it's 1 or 2 Samuel 22:8, if someone can grab that reference for me, if you want to compare. It says, then the earth shook and trembled and the foundations of heaven were moved. If someone can get that, whether it's 1 or 2 Samuel, it looks like I deleted that in my note. But it's 1 or 2 Samuel 22:8, and compare that with Psalm 18:7. And you'll see that that's a quick way to see that the word hill or mountain means heaven. All right. So first and foremost, your terminology is wrong anyway. 2 Samuel? All right. Thank you. Yeah, so I got it. So 2 Samuel 22:8 and Psalms 18:7, you compare those, you can see that mountain or hill doesn't mean the good times. It means heaven. So your terminology is wrong. And valley, I believe, you know what, I have more to learn on this, but I believe from what I can see in Scripture that valley means hell, under the earth, like the deep, like it's synonymous with saying the deep or Sheol. So when you say when the Bible talks about the valleys, it is not talking about you going through a rough spot in your life. It's literally talking about hell, at least from what I've seen in Scripture. Okay, so that first and foremost, let's get that out of the way. That is not. I mean, if you think about it, what verses do we have to substantiate the fact that mountain means good time and valley means bad time? Show me the verses that define that for it. Well, of course we don't have verses. Of course we don't. Has anyone here ever heard a verse to explain that valley means bad time? Like, is there a verse that says, oh, valley means this? I just gave you a verse to show what mountain or hill means, but has anyone ever given you a verse that tells you that mountain means having a good time and valley means having a bad time? No, of course not. Well, but because this is a perfect example of believers that feel that, oh, I can fluctuate day to day. I can be in a really good spot or I can be in a really bad spot. And so every time I read about the mountains and valleys in the Bible, that's not really what it means, but I project that meaning into Scripture because that's what I believe myself. You ever done that before where you already have a belief and because you're reading Scripture, that's all you can see in Scripture is because you already have a preconceived notion of something? Well, we already have, as the church today, the preconceived notion that we can go from being in a really good spot to being in a really bad spot, but God is good and the constant through all of the ups and downs that we as believers go through. Again, circumstances can certainly change outside of you, all right? But you as a believer never change. You are in the same spot you always are. You are always in a good spot as a believer, and that's not just an encouragement, even though it kind of is. I'm not saying it for the sake of encouraging you. I'm saying it because it's true. Now, it'll end up encouraging you, but I'm not saying it for the purpose of encouraging you. I'm just saying it because it's true. You're always in the same spot. There's this concept of fluctuation in the church, and it's absolutely untrue. Okay, that doesn't happen. I just want to read another verse that we just read in the series on Wednesday. In Hebrews 10:14, you can throw that one up there. Hebrews 10:14, and actually, let's read verse 10 first. Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So it actually said that we're sanctified, that means made holy once for all. Then that's referring to all time. Once for all time you were sanctified. And then in verse 14, it says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So it says God first sanctified you, which is talking about your justification. And you know how the Bible says those who he justified, these he also glorified? Here he uses different terms and he says those whom he sanctified, these he also perfected. All right? He said he's perfected forever those who are sanctified. And this perfection forever is referring to you. That's referring to you. That's what Jesus did for you. You're perfect forever. Does that sound like fluctuation to anybody? Perfect forever? That doesn't. And you know, when God says perfect, it's not like when you look at it, you know, if your kid draws you something, you say, oh, it's perfect. It's not really perfect, right? What you mean by that is like, oh, good job. Right? When God says perfect, he actually is meaning perfect, right? He doesn't actually mean, and you know, you can throw whatever, you know, spin you want on that word perfect. The word perfect here means perfect. That's what it means. Complete, whole, lacking nothing whatsoever. The word perfect, don't let anyone tell you the word perfect just means mature in the Bible. That is untrue. It can make an implication to that in certain contexts, but not because it means mature. It means complete, right? And if you happen to be talking about your understanding, a complete understanding, sure, it implies maturity of understanding, but it means complete. It means full, right? And you are complete and perfect forever. And that does not change. You're not in a mountain one day and in a valley the other day. And you say, well, yeah, but, you know, how can you say that I'm not going through a hard time right now? How can you say that I'm in a good spot? Because look at what's happening to me. The reason why you have this idea, this is the only reason why you have this idea that you fluctuate. Like, oh, I was going through such a good year last year, and this year is such a crummy year. The only reason why you think that way is because you're carnally minded. You are physically minded. You are deriving all of your assumptions about yourself from everything external. There is no regard for Christ, his once-for-all sacrifice, and there is no regard for all the glory he put in you once for all time. There's no regard for that. You're looking all at your circumstance and how you feel, and because you feel a certain way, you take what you feel to be true instead of taking the word of God to be true. That's the only reason why you feel that you're on the mountain or in the valley. You're in just as good a spot now as you've ever been. Even believers that talk about, oh yeah, 2020, what a crummy year. Not for me. It wasn't a crummy year for me. I don't know about you. I'm planted by a river of water. I'm fine. Thanks anyway for your unbelief, but I'm not going to accept that about me. I'm perfect forever. I'm not on a mountain one day and in a valley and in the gutter the next day. I'm perfect forever. Again, is that disputable? He's perfected forever by his once for all sacrifice. This concept of mountains and valleys is because we are just all eyeballs. That's all we are. We're just looking at everything that we see and taking into account everything that we feel, and therefore we feel, oh, I'm in such a bad spot. No, you're not in such a bad spot. Your experience as a believer can change as you get to know Jesus more. But your reality does never change. It never changes. Not day to day, and not year to year, and not ever. You are perfected forever. Okay? Because we're very short on time, I just want to throw this out at you too. But people say, well, what about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Again, if you know that, first of all, that the word valley does not mean hard time. Again, show me a verse that defines the word valley as hard time. We project onto that verse what we want it to mean because that's what we feel already. So when you feel you're going through a hard time and you read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're like, that really spoke to me. No, it really didn't speak anything to you. You spoke to it. You projected your own mentality onto that verse because you feel like you're in a valley. So every time you see the word valley, you associate yourself with that instead of every time you see Jesus associating yourself with him. Because you're carnally minded. You're not understanding what's in your spirit right now. You're not understanding that in your spirit, you're perfect. And in your spirit, you have the solution to every single problem that you could ever possibly go through. So you're in the same spot constantly as a believer. Christ's sacrifice was once for all time. That means he fixed all the things he was going to fix one time. He's never going to fix it again. And you've received the sacrifice of Christ, that once for all sacrifice. Remember, Christ is not going to come back ever to fix your problems again. And if you've received that sacrifice, that means you've received all the fix that Christ will ever provide you. So what are we doing then? I'm not saying again that your experiences cannot change. The way that you feel day to day can't change, but your feelings are just wrong then. Your feelings are just incorrect then. That's the point of renewing your mind. The whole point of renewing your mind is to take the stupid thoughts that you think and replace them with true thoughts that God thinks about you. The things that are reality. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death is actually, I believe what that's talking about because of the fact that I'm defining my terms correctly. And I know that valley implies in some way, shape, or form, it seems to mean hell. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he talks about, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. What I believe he's saying that even if I were to go to the bed of hell, you'd still be with me. And I don't have to be afraid of any evil, even if I were to make my bed in hell. Because, you know, the psalmist also says this in a different psalm. That was Psalm 23, what I just quoted. But Psalm 139, verse 7 through 8 says, Psalm 139, verse 7 through 8 says, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I shall ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. I believe that's the same thing as saying, even though I were to go to the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So I believe that's what he's saying. Even if I were to go to hell, Lord, you'd still be with me, and I still wouldn't have to fear any evil. Because again, I'm defining my terms correctly, valley. But even whatever you think of the word valley, even if you want to think incorrectly about the word valley and you don't want to accept what I'm saying right now, even despite that, last verse, let me just read this to you real quick. Psalm 107, verse 10. Psalm 107, verse 10. I'm going to spit this out real quick and then I'm going to let you go. Psalm 107, verse 10 says, this is referring to the coming of Christ. So if you want to say, oh yeah, I'm a believer and I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. No, you're not. You're not going through any valley, according to your definition of the word valley. Look, it says, such as sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. So this is talking about people that are in the valley of the shadow of death. And it says, because they rebelled against the word of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Watch this. And he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. So regardless of what you want to think of the word valley, this is saying that Jesus redeemed you from the valley of the shadow of death, whatever that may be, whatever you want to even put on that, even if you want to believe what you know incorrectly about the definition of the word valley. You're not in a valley. As a believer, you're perfected forever. The problem is your mind. That's the problem, that you need to renew your mind. I don't care what you're going through experientially. As a believer, there's no excuse for ever thinking that you're fluctuating. There's no excuse. I don't care. I have no, and I'm going to stop with this. No, I have no problem having empathy for someone or compassion on someone that says, you know what, Pastor Mike, I'm going through someone, can you pray for me? Absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you say, Pastor Mike, come, you pray for me because I'm going through the valley, you know, we're going to have a talk first, and I may not even pray for you. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'm not sure yet. We're going to have a talk certainly first. Because there's a difference between a Christian saying, you know what, I'm going through something, pray with me, versus saying I'm going through the valley, or having the false belief that you are fluctuating. You're not going to receive from God like that. You need to believe the truth in order to receive from God, and you are not going through a valley, and you weren't on the mountaintop last year, and you're not in the valley now. You're the same last year if you were saved last year as you are today. We are perfected forever, and that's just a final thing. The only problem is you have to learn how good you have it in Christ. That's what the renewal of the mind is. So if you want to complain, or you want to cry, or you want to sob about how bad your current circumstance is, then I'm going to talk to you about how good the work of Jesus was on your behalf, and if you've already received it, I'm going to set you straight on what you actually have in Christ. There's no valley and mountain the way that we refer to it today. There's no dry spell. Completely contradicts Jeremiah 17, right? We're planted by a river of water. Nothing fluctuates for you. Your mind fluctuates, and therefore your experiences can fluctuate. But God wants to renew our mind so we understand the perfect state that we're in forever. Right? That's the point of being a believer, is Jesus did it once for all, so I am who I am once for all time.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.